Welcome, 2743. Who am I talking with?
Hi, Brian. It's Candace.
Hey, Candace. I should know you.
Hi, I'm just driving out of a parking garage, so I'm going to be muted for a little bit while I talk to the teller.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Bennett.
Hello.
Hi, Bennett.
Bennett. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
We got
Candace
crazy
is
everywhere.
Candace is preoccupied at the moment, but she'll be with us momentarily. Sounds like you have your dog with you.
We're walking down the hill from our house to go to Ferdinand Street.
Uh-huh.
And our neighbors have three dogs, so they're going nuts.
I got it. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a couple of things that I wanted to bring up with you, Bennett. The first is related to our conversation yesterday. What I'd like to do is address any kind of issue or question that you have regarding what we talked about. Anything that comes to mind or came to mind yesterday that is an issue. You know, you have a question and you don't know exactly what the answer is, or you don't excuse me, you don't know how I would respond. So that was one area. And then the other area is I want to talk to Candace about this too. I don't know if you realize, but she's been giving us a master class on the human energy systems, the chakras. And
I heard her speak a little bit on one of the calls, but I haven't heard much. Yeah.
Well, she shared some very interesting things, and she may, I think, share some more. But I got the idea, Bennett, that we have some very deep knowledge about some things that would be very interesting to other people in the group. And it would be interesting to me to allow each one of us to off the top of our minds, you know, without having to think about it a lot, give a master class on whatever it is that, you know, you can share. And, you know, I know what I would ask you about, You know, I'd want to know things about cosmology, for instance. And but I'd also be interested in the kinds of things that you might be expert in with regard to contracting and you know, the process of being a contractor and the kinds of things that you went through and you learned, you know. So anyway, that's just, I'm just throwing out an idea. Maybe Candace heard that and can respond too, but I'd be very interested in your you know, your thoughts about that as a possibility for this group.
Yeah, I'm not really interested in that, Brian. I would more than happy privately to share any thoughts or knowledge I have regarding my cosmology, rocketry, construction with you. But I don't feel like that's what I'm bringing or why I'm in the group. You know, the group is for a working, walking, meditating kind of thing. And I don't really, those things are kind of too cerebral, to tell you the truth, for this particular approach to exercise. And I don't think I would like to, you know, use this group for other purposes than that.
Well, I certainly hear you, Bennett, and I respect your opinion, and I think it's a valid one. And I think there's room. Certainly, the main purpose of the program is exactly as you're describing it. And, you know, I'm looking for other possibilities, you know, not to necessarily exclude the ones that I'm proposing. But I'm really just putting it out for feedback at the moment. That's why I said,
yeah,
you know, I was hoping that Canada.
Yeah, well, that's my feedback that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you run you lose focus if you broaden it out too widely. Yeah, now, you know, Candace's work in chakras and such, which energy work, I mean, that's very directly applicable to walking and running, you know. But cosmology and construction management, not so much, you know.
Yeah, I hear you on that. And that, in fact, is one of the questions that I have for Candace. You know, how does the chakra energy system apply to running or training? And I'm look forward to hearing from her about that.
Yeah, I'd be open to listening to that. You know, I'm not so, you know, I am a sort of conservative when it comes to, you know, biological systems, you know, medical things and things like that. I'm pretty conservative, you know. But I'm not, I'm open to it. You know, I definitely think that there's something to be said for raising the chi, you know, because of my experience with Tai Chi. I took Tai Chi years and years ago, but I did it for like 3 years, you know, three times a week. So I did it pretty intensively. And I learned a lot. And it's attached to the chakra approach, you know, because, you know, the chi is kind of the energy, the body energy that goes through your body, right? And it's directed by movement. And I mean, I use the chi walk is the slow walk. You know, when you say slow walk, that's the chi walk, which is bent knees, balance on one foot so that you can stand totally on one foot. Then into the heel, roll through to the toe, take the back foot off, totally balanced on the front foot now. Then heel, roll through the heel onto the toe, all the weight on the front foot again. And if you do that very slowly, I mean really slowly, that is a very powerful exercise. And that, when you talk about walking slow, that's like walking glacially slow.
Yes.
Because it's very hard to keep you try doing that. It's very hard to keep your balance very stable on a foot if you're moving really slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really brings up a lot of balancing issues, posture, all sorts of things. And if you get advanced in Tai Chi, you can do that fast and still maintain all of those things, right? Balance and posture and energy, but fast. And it becomes a martial art, you know, at that level.
Mm-hmm. Fast.
You can do it. We used to do this thing called sticky hands,
mm-hmm.
where you do the walk and the positions, but your arms are in contact with another person who's facing you right in front of you,
mm-hmm.
kind of like sword.
Mm-hmm.
But your wrists are touching each other.
Mm-hmm.
So your left wrist is touching your opponent's left wrist, and your right wrist is touching your opponent's right wrist. And then they move, you move, you move. It's almost like a mirror exercise where you respond to their movement. And for advanced Tai Chi, that can turn into an acrobatic thing. You know, you can be doing flips and turns and rolls and all sorts of stuff, keeping contact with the person's wrist the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. I never got that good at it to do that, but that's the advanced form. Anyway, Tai Chi. No, Tai Chi is an interesting thing to talk about when it comes to this type of walking.
Now, let me ask you a question, Bennett. You said the other day that you had finished up with a long step walking is the way I understood it. Is this like Tai Chi that you were just walking, that you were just describing? Were you doing that the other day? I may have lost Bennett temporarily. Candace, are you?
Oh, sorry. I had my mute on.
Sorry.
What I'm saying is that the slow Tai Chi walk, you're actually transferring your weight from one foot to the other 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't do that in a slow walk. You do, you know, 30-70 or something like that. So it's a little different. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And you know, I'm going to try your slow walk, real slow walk as an exercise later.
Yeah.
And
yeah, try it.
Yeah.
Bend your knees and feet shoulder width apart. One foot in front of, you know, directly so parallel to each other,
mm-hmm.
and then transfer the weight from foot to foot, 100%. You know, and then try it backwards. Then try it backwards.
Uh-huh.
And that means you go from the foot to the back toe, to the toe, mm-hmm. of the back foot,
yeah.
roll through the back foot. So you're completely off. You can dangle your front foot.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, if you can master that, that gets you, you wouldn't believe how much that allows you to do.
I didn't quite catch what you just said. You wouldn't believe how much that allows you to do. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah. You know, typically you'll see a Tai Chi person who's very adept. They'll be moving on one foot. You know, they can spin, they can walk, they can jump, they can hop, all on one foot, never losing their balance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it's about. Wow, look at that.
Bennett, I wanted to hold her. She's pulling very hard.
Okay.
Candace, are you there?
I am.
Did you hear?
How's it going?
It's going very well. I was wondering if you heard the conversation with Bennett just now.
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm.
I love Tai Chi, and I love the energies of it, because you really are cultivating an inner source of power that, when stable and strong, begins to, you can use other people's energies and add to your own, but not like use it as in like abuse it, but like, it's kind of like electrons sticking on to other electrons and creating synergy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an amazing concept. You know, I one of the things that I kind of latched onto momentarily while he was talking was the idea that in Tai Chi, what was the word that he used? But, you know, as you're moving your arms in front of you doing whatever, you're actually changing or manipulating or controlling or directing, I think is what he said, the energy. And I can kind of see how, you know, the arm movement through those energy fields would maybe have an effect. Although I'm not sure what it would be, or you know how to direct it, or I should say for what purpose maybe would one direct it. And I'm very interested in following up on the question that he and I both raised earlier with you, Candace, and that is, how does that energy, how do we use that, or can we use it during fitness activities? Like walking, or you know, even Tai Chi for that matter. Do you have thoughts on that?
Of course. Well, you know, our ability to connect to the earth is the root chakra. And the root chakra is how we feel grounded. And a lot of times, the way people run is evident of how ungrounded they are, especially. The chakras represent like how you nurture and care for yourself. And are you able to sustain workouts or walks or runs and be balanced and connected to the earth? And then allowing yourself to open up to the power that's coursing through you, and letting your heart lead to open up to the energies around you.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely operates multidimensionally as everything does. But it's amazing when you watch kids, the way they run, they're always running, right? They're so excited. That means that with the second chakra, they have so much joy and vitality. Like there's this pure energy of just literally being free and light on your feet, and allowing yourself to play and enjoy the moment. And I think that is always powerful, because some people that run are just like in agony, you know, when they're running or walking, and they look all pain. So if they're like really rigid and, you know, always busy and regimented and logical, and then they bring that to, you know, walking when it's so light and playful, then you're like missing like the energetic exchange of what it's actually supposed to be doing. Like you're holding on to a rigid structure when it's supposed to be free flow.
I've noticed that about little kids, and you're absolutely correct. You know, they're the way they are, they're so light and joyful. They don't even think that they're running. I mean, like you seem to think, and I agree that a lot of people are totally aware that they're running while they're running, and they're not enjoying it. It's a burden to them, but they feel they're driven to push that hard by whatever, you know, whatever drives them. What'd you think of the master class idea? You know, just the concept in itself, but also what Bennett was saying about it, his feedback for me.
Actually, it was such a beautiful witness to hearing both of you and the ideas that are being shared, where I really value Bennett being able to share that it doesn't work for him, especially because it is very cerebral if you're just talking about things that are not pertaining to health and where we're at in that sense. It's kind of been like tuning out from the present moment of the walking and enjoying, where sometimes things about like him talking about Tai Chi and me talking about energy begins to add value, where you're like able to tune into what maybe your body might be doing energetically, because you're starting to get a notice of what that looks and feels like through talking about energy and movement.
Yeah, I, at the risk of sounding like I'm agreeing with you, yeah, I totally agree that I think the direction that you're kind of indicating, if there were going to go deep into something, it should be related to training or running or fitness, I think is what you're saying, correct?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. And I that's what I'm agreeing with. I think that's, totally legitimate use of the medium, number one, and also in the context of the program. So that's a very valuable, bit of feedback. And I'm going to let Bennett back in. Bennett, if you can hear me, Candace and I just touched on the idea that you were sharing with me, the feedback. Really, and I want to share that with you, what we talked about, she and I. Basically, we agree that if we're going to go deeply into any particular subject or have somebody talk about something that they know something about deeply, then it should be in alignment with the purpose of the course, which is fitness related. And so I've agreed with her that, and you, I think, that if we're going deep, we'll go fitness related and leave other extraneous, though interesting, things for another time.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Cool.
But I actually am intrigued by these. You know, I'm intrigued by the notion of walking versus running, because walking kind of sets you up for a meditative and energy level that opens you up to things like Tai Chi beginning practices, and I'm sure maybe some of this energy work that Candace is doing. Whereas if you're running, it's much harder to really learn those beginning issues because there's so much going on so fast when you're running, strain and all these other things. So walking really gives us the opportunity to slow walk these practices and integrate them and learn them. In a way that's really good way to learn. I support this notion of using walking as a kind of way to meditate or to learn about energy.
Well, I'm glad you do, and I thank you for your support on that, because that's kind of a crucial aspect of the training program that I'm inventing, if you will.
That's what I've always been attracted to your method of teaching, because I think intuitively or purposefully, you've always worked that way.
Yes, that's true. And in some ways, I was becoming frustrated. I think I've touched on this with you. I don't necessarily want to get into it at the moment, but I've stumbled onto or created a venue now that I'm happy with, because it gives me an opportunity to teach and coach and teach the kinds of things that you're talking about a lot more, both deeply and, you know, with people, I think, that are interested and committed to learning that kind of stuff. And, you know, I want to reach a broader audience, of course, but I see it as a kind of a gradual step-by-step progression of program development and adapting my ideas to both a different medium and a different time. And in response, I think, to a broad range of people and issues with regard to fitness. That's kind of where the direction that I'm heading, and the kinds of things that we're talking about, I think, are important to me in my, you know, chosen field, my work. And I just want to point out that I feel like I have a master class in me on the Hard Easy system, the training system that I use to coach people. And I could teach that class in a number of different ways and venues. I could teach it in 90 minutes, some afternoon, let's say. I could teach it in 90-minute sessions, which I don't think that this group would be interested in. But you might be interested in the 90-minute version, and I would certainly be interested in your feedback. Now, what I say 90 minutes, when I say 90 minutes, I'm talking about 20 minutes of a didactic, you know, presentation on my part. And the rest is conversation, discussion on our part. And so I'm throwing that out as a possibility. I mean, I don't know that I've kind of sworn off offering that to this level in the recent past, but I think there's interest here, and there I'd be interested in, for instance, in Candace's feedback as to how my ideas can be integrated maybe with her ideas and where she's coming from with the chakras. That to me would be a really interesting discussion, conversation. Anyway, I want to welcome Jeff. I think we started around 5:30. So we're closing on 23, 25 minutes into the workout. How are you doing today, Jeff?
Good. I tried to get out of work an hour early, and it didn't happen. Every time I got up off my desk, the phone rang. But I raced over to a local park and thought I'd call you when I got there. So I'm walking through a little park.
So tell me about your state of mind, Jeff. And now I'm talking about, you know, coming from work to the park and, you know, what the state of mind was. And then as you went from you know, the car to the walk, what it was like there and where you are now.
Well, okay. I have to say I got out of work at almost 5:30, knowing that we were doing the group. And I had the strongest urge to just say, screw it, I'm going home. I'm going to relax. I don't want to do it. I don't want to walk. I was fighting. I fought to come to the walk just because I was already late. I'm finding excuses. But I kept telling myself, no, you can't. You can't do it. You got to just go. I got the destination in mind. And once I got to the destination, I pulled up. I started to relax because I knew I had to relax because I'm a little uptight. And as I started walking, I was rushing at first because I even after just as soon as I got out of the car, I was like, move, 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 push, 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 go. You got to start going. And I could feel myself just going at a not good pace for me, especially with the frustrations in my head and all the thoughts going through it. But as I start to walk, I'm starting to relax. And that's what I'm trying to keep my focus on myself, to relax, breathing in and out, smelling this, just walk by some flowers, smell the fragrance, and just forcing myself to relax, which is not easy, which takes a little bit of effort. But I'm feeling a little bit better, and I know that if I wouldn't have relaxed and thought about my body and used some of the techniques that I've been working on, I would have started pounding up down the pit path and probably would have aggravated my hip, which is what happens all the time. And so now that I've pushed back a little bit to get warmed up, it feels good and I feel encouraged.
Outstanding.
Hey, Jeff, this is Bennett. You know, I felt the exact same thing at 5:30. I was at my house, so I didn't have the issue of the automobile and all that. But I took a shot of tequila, and that worked. And then I felt totally mellow, and then I started my walk.
Yeah, getting that mellowness.
There's ways to do it.
I missed the last comment, Bennett.
No, I said there's plenty of different ways to get, you know, to break the ice.
Because
we're talking about breaking the ice. That's what it is. You know, it's that initial resistance. It's like, remember I mentioned to you, Brian, about the Sunday night dreads? Like, Jeff, do you have the Sunday night dreads where you got to go to work Monday and you just got that feeling, oh, shit, it's Sunday and, you know, I got to get my head right and all that?
Every Sunday. Every single Sunday, I do that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was telling Brian, you know, one of the beautiful things about retirement is that you can break that habit and, you know, you can say, fuck off Monday, you know. And, you know, that's a wonderful thing to be able to do that.
I had a lovely glass of wine before coming to my walk, but I also got my hair did, so I feel pretty good.
Style.
I'm hearing a theme. I want to try. We can be the walking.
Let me jump in on this. I have an opinion, and that is not. I'm not criticizing, you know, the shot of tequila approach. I'm not at all. In fact, you know, I have my own way of dealing with, you know, let's call it changing my point of view, my perspective on things. But the point is that I really like what Jeff had to say, and that is that he was in a certain space and he got himself out of it evidently without an external kind of support. And again, I'm not criticizing external support per se, but I'm saying that Jeff is right on And what I caught was that he's using certain techniques for getting him through that kind of situation. And that's what I'd like to have him follow up on, because I'm interested in that.
Well, I want to start with a glass of wine or a shot sounds pretty doggone good in my mental state I was earlier. I know I need to, and it's something I always know I need to work on to get out, to move, because I want to be at a healthier place in my life. And to do that, I need to stop and slow down and force myself to slow down so that I can relax on the walk and not push it and not feel good about myself afterwards, because I pushed it. I hurt, have some pains, have some aches. Because all those things add to me not wanting to go on a walk. If I get out and I start to walk too hard because I think I have to, I think this is something I just have to do, but I don't have any restraints on myself or control, and I'm at the end, I'm tired, I'm hurting, it's not pleasant. That just makes it easier for me to quit going. That just increases the reasons. Well, last time I did, I hurt. And so these are all things that are detrimental to me going out and getting healthier, because I think of the negative. Because I don't want to do it anyways. I want to, but I don't want to, especially alone. You know, it's nice to have someone to walk with and talk with, but there's times that I fight myself. And but now I'm relaxed and I'm feeling really content, and I'm feeling good about it. I'm feeling good about myself for controlling my urge to stay home, because I do that so often. And so using the techniques to slow down and to relax and to visualize where I'm at, my aches, my pains, my breathing is a big thing. When I find myself huffing and puffing a little bit, I'm pulling myself, even right now, pulling myself back just a tad bit, just so it's a little bit more of a natural breath. And that all helps me to have a more positive experience.
Jeff, yeah. How fast are you moving right now?
I am step, really slowly. I'm walking pretty slowly at the moment.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And, you know, just, I'm not eating up any ground. I'm probably going, not even a mile an hour, you know, pretty slow.
Yeah, you're walking as fast as I am right now.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Yeah, and so, and this way, as I push, I find myself wanting to go faster, because I've always been a long stride, fast walker, because growing up with all my guy friends, we would walk everywhere, and it was always about fast speed. How are we getting somewhere? It's hard to break those habits. It really is. And it feels unnatural how slow I'm walking right now. But I'm getting rid of that feeling and that those habits that I've formed, and I'm using my body's signals to tell me how fast I need to walk to get to where I need to be. Because I can tell you that when I do, like Sunday, I was feeling really good, and my pace was actually pretty good, and I was still holding a good breathing, and it just was a really good walk day for me, and I was going a lot faster than I am now. But it some days it's just not there, and I have to remember to hold back, because I'll get there, and that's the message. I'll get there.
Yeah, that's the theme of this group, is how slow can you walk?
How slow can you walk without getting pain, having pain? You know, keeping yourself at a pace that's comfortable.
How slow can you walk without fighting yourself to walk slow? I mean, you know, interesting. We fight ourselves to walk fast, because, you know, and that's why we don't want to go for a walk, because we're pushing ourselves to go fast. pushing ourselves to accomplish goal orientation, all that crap. But it's really hard to walk nowhere, to get nowhere, and to get there slowly. I think that is a powerful thing. That's why I walk.
You say that's why you walk?
Yeah, I don't walk to burn fat. I don't walk to accomplish mileage. I walk to experience every step.
Yeah, I see.
It'd be interesting if I could, if that builds, you know, if that were to build to something different, like where I would be running again. Somehow, I'm not sure how I would make that transition, you know, from walking to moving quicker.
Yeah, I don't know that you'd want to, right? I mean,
maybe, I don't know.
To go quicker, you
not
mean?
Not now. I really don't feel, I'm not working. It's like, you know, I'm not working up to running, for instance, or walking fast even.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not working for that. Mm-hmm. That's kind of when I was first with your group, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
I was building capacity to run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's when a lot of these things you talk about in your training, like, you know, the levels of exertion, you know. But then I've become kind of creating a practice for walking, because I don't really want to run, you know.
Yeah, I hear you on that, Bennett, and I'm intrigued with the concept. Slow walking as being meditative, and and very joyful and enjoyable is coming across as well, and in the moment, you know, it's kind of zen in a way, and
totally,
yeah
it is. But it's interesting, I think. You know, I would relate to the Tai Chi, which, by the way, I haven't practiced in 40 years, you know, but it really stuck with me. You know, the Tai Chi is very slow. I mean, you work out for 45 minutes and you're actually hurting, your muscles are hurting, your thighs hurt in particular, and because you're moving so slow that you're restraining the, you know, the gravity, you know, you're holding things unnaturally kind of in a very slow posture, and you're holding postures kind of like yoga. And, but it develops into something very fluid and moving very quickly and gracefully, like dance, and super energetic, you know? So maybe the slow walking can develop into something interesting, you know. Maybe there's a new kind of running that develops from slow walking, you know.
Certainly, you know, a new kind of strengthening that could be very beneficial to running, and the kind of meditative stuff that you're talking about as well, walking.
Yeah. That's very interesting.
One thing that the first time I joined Brian's group, I thought it was magic, going up hills. When Brian talked to me, he and I were walking. I forget where it was, above town somewhere, but we were walking. He was just kind of watching me walk, and I'm got my head down, and I'm step, push, you know, huffing and puffing and just powering through it. Just all my weight, you know, I'm at 340 pounds, 350 pounds, whatever it is. And I'm just pounding up the steps. And he's watching me, going very calm and very just kind of steady. And I get to the top, I'm just dying. I'm dying. And he just kind of like smirks a little bit. I remember this. Smirks a little bit. And he asked me, would you like to learn how to walk uphill? And I looked at him like, okay, what do I need to do? And he said, slow down. Take shorter steps. So we were coming up, and we were up pretty high. We went down, and he found another hill to go up. And he just kind of told me, lean back a little bit, head up, don't put your head down, because that just forced you to push forward and push harder. And I just took short steps I have to say, I thought it was magic. I thought it was magic. I swear to God, because all my life I dreaded going up, always. I've always been a big guy, and you see a hill, it's like crap. All right, go, and just kind of force of will, force of nature up that doggone hill. I can do it. I can beat it. And this time it was easy. I was tired. My muscles hurt more than when I powered up it by the short, easy steps. But it was a total different experience. So like you just said, and that's what brought me to say this, is that, you know, going slower, there is some zen to it. And then just something to it that does change how mobile you are and being smart.
Yeah, and like Brian said, it does change your muscles. It's a different kind of muscle building.
Different from what, Bennett?
From fast movement. From fast movement of your muscles, you know, like running.
Mm-hmm.
To restrain yourself and say you're carrying weight up a hill, or your body weight, and you do it in a longer period of time. You're basically exercising longer, in essence, right? You're using those muscles at a lower level, but you're using them longer. And when you run, you're using them more intensely and getting all those, you know, what is it, the lactic acid going and all that. But you're doing it shorter. So it's different, really. I would think physiologically would be different, wouldn't it?
Yeah, to some extent it is. You know, there are two or three different metabolic systems, and you know that's those are things that I've thought about and written about in certain ways. But I usually don't think too much about them now, especially as you pointed out. I mean, I'm mostly working with people at a pretty aerobic level. So, you know, that's the main way that we use energy for exercise, the aerobic way. And there's anaerobic metabolism too, which is uncomfortable by its nature. And, you know.
What's that, Brian, anaerobic?
Well, it means without oxygen. Aerobic means with oxygen. So the
right.
Whatever the metabolic process is going on to create or produce energy for whatever kind of running activity you're doing, whether a very slow jog or a really fast run or sprint, it's going to be dealt with metabolically using different metabolic systems. So the aerobic system is generally the one that we're the best at. As human beings. So we can go long distances at a very slow pace. And that's, you know, basically our metabolic system. But we also go for short distances, like 100 meters or what, 200 meters at a really fast clip. And if we need to, and we use a different metabolic system for that. And that's the anaerobic system, essentially. It's without oxygen.
Anaerobic equates to fast. Is that right? Sprinting?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Anaerobic equates to slow. But, you know, when you start to feel a burn going very slow, with those long steps, then you're moving in back into the anaerobic system, or there's another system that I'm not really clear what it does, but you know, that could be part of what you're feeling is a burn. But it's basically
it's a slow burn.
Yeah, it's a slow burn, all right.
It's anyway, quite cold.
Is there another Was there another question or issue behind the anaerobic aerobic system question? We're 6:14 into this run, 6 hours, 45 minutes into the run. And
hi guys, I'm actually just leaving Ala Moana Beach Park. I had a really good walk along the ocean listening to you guys. It was very nice. But I'm going out to Costco. I appreciate you all. And I hope you have a wonderful evening.
Hi, Candace.
We hope you do.
Hi.
Too. Good night.
Hi, Candace.
Good night.
Where are you guys now, Bennett and Jeff? Are you? Where in the workout are you, and how are you feeling?
Well, I just took a small hill. Like when Jeff started talking about the hill, there was a hill on the walk I'm on. So I just went up the hill and I'm coming down the hill.
When you went up the hill, did you focus on being relaxed and did that work?
Yeah.
Cool.
To tell you the truth, I don't think I changed much between walking flat and walking up the hill.
What do you mean? You didn't change much.
In terms of pace.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of how many steps I'm taking.
Steps per minute or actual minutes per mile?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't pay attention to that, but my sense is that this was not a major hill. You know, probably a, I don't know, 20 degree grade or something. But I didn't really change my pace because I'm walking slowly as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so going up the hill didn't make much difference.
Uh-huh. I'd be interested to hear what you say, what your experience is going up Ventura from Ferdinand to your place, Sonoma.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go up that hill in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me know when you get there.
Yeah, I could try powering up that hill if you want.
Say that again.
I could try powering up that hill. Normally, I walk it, you know, pretty slow.
No, I'm more interested in that you walk it slow enough so that you're relaxed the whole way up there.
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that.
Uh-huh, cool. Yeah, this has been a very good walk for me in terms of our discussion, Bennett and Jeff. I mean, I thought you were right on earlier with describing your experience, and right on.
Yeah, the thing that we talked about that it kind of I find interesting is that resistance. Okay. So Jeff was talking about his resistance for a walk. And I had a similar resistance. I always do. And I'm not sure why that is. It's a very curious thing that we develop resistance to doing things that are, you know, good for us or feel good, even pleasurable things. You know, it's like crossing the threshold to get started is a process. I don't understand it. I never really understood it. But, you know, you kind of go through that when you say, am I going to go for a walk? You know, or am I going to go for a run? Do you experience that, Brian, after all these years?
No. There maybe once a week I realize that a walk is not going to be something I should do. Maybe because I've done a hard workout or the equivalent of a hard workout out in the yard, doing yard work or whatever. And mm-hmm. And so I don't go out. But ordinarily, I totally look forward to going out. It's one of the highlights of my day, definitely. Sorry, Jeff.
You and I have had a lot of conversation on this, and the fact that, you know, this is not something that you ever feel, you know, because you've done it your whole life. It's a habit you've formed. You enjoy it, you know, all the everything you get out of it. Whereas that's why this program was challenging to put together, because Bennett and I are kind of in the same boat where, not that I don't enjoy, and I think it sounds like you're the same as, not that we don't enjoy when we're out, when we get here, when we're in the moment, it's getting to the moment that we struggle with for some reason. And same as you, Bennett, you know, I struggle with it. I enjoy it when I do get out. I've always loved to walk, but it's just that pick yourself in the pants, pick yourself up by the shorts, however you want to phrase it. It's that, it's doing that. That's the struggle. And I'm always finding reasons, you know, especially when work's related, not to. Something's more important. You know, I find reasons not to do it for, and I don't know why, because I'm here right now and I'm really enjoying it.
You know, Jeff, the way I approach it, because I kind of felt like that over things I, you know, consider discipline, you know, things that I think I have to discipline myself to do. It's not that it's fun, but it's kind of foolish, you know? So I laugh at myself, you know, when I get like that, you know, like, what the fuck, you know? You're sitting around doing nothing and you're feeling reticent to go out the door and do something wonderful that, you know, the moment you step through the threshold, you're going to say, yeah, okay. It's just a kind of foolishness. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know where it comes from. I think it comes from the way you're brought up. But
no, I disagree. I'm going to give you another point of view, Bennett.
Okay.
Because you're asking about the workout, the run or the walk, but you're not asking the right question. So here's another question. How come you resist or have resisted doing a weightlifting workout, Brian? There's an answer to that question. And I'm getting to a point now where I no longer resist doing a weightlifting workout. I look forward to it, just like I do with, you know, the walking. I'd say that where the walking is almost like, let's say 95% want to, the weightlifting is in the 85% want to. And so I'm still dealing with some resistance. But for the most part, I feel like I've overcome the issues that I had that were creating the resistance to, I'm talking about regular weightlifting. I'm talking about 7 days a week, if possible, but 5 days is acceptable given schedule issues. And wanting to go out and do it, like this afternoon, I had time and, you know, I wanted to do it. My body likes to do it. And so this is something that I had to figure out as I was developing what I call a no pain, no discomfort, enjoyable, sustainable weightlifting regimen for myself. And I analyzed the all the exercises that I do and realized that certain ones of them were the ones, the culprits that were keeping me from doing it, sustaining it on a year-round basis almost every day. And I was just trying to lift too much burn, too much discomfort, too much resistance that I wasn't acknowledging to myself. And until finally, after many, attempts, to the most recent being, I've totally wired the regimen that I'm doing. Every step in it, there's nothing that is untoward or causes any kind of discomfort. And so I had to overcome a certain amount of ego. For instance, the first exercises I do, I don't use a weight at all. I just lift my arms in a certain way. But that's all I can do to keep from feeling pain, because I have a shoulder issue that if I try to lift any weight at all, then it hurts. So I don't lift a weight. But I look at myself in the mirror and I say, Brian, you used to be able to lift blah, blah kind of weight. So that's going on. It's part of the conversation, but I've controlled that. I'm okay with it, ego-wise. And it's an open carport. Anybody can come by and look at me, and it doesn't bother me, those kinds of accommodations straight through every single exercise. No resistance, no pain, with the whole thing being enjoyable. And yet it's a pretty good workout. I mean, it's 20 minutes and, that suits me just fine. I don't want to spend a lot of time in the so-called gym. I want a full body workout, and I want to get in and get out, enjoy it, and then get on with the walk, which is, that one, there's no, it's like watering the lawn, no compromise. I'm going to go out because I enjoy it. And
Brian, can I interrupt for a sec? Do you ever walk with weights?
Weights, did you say?
Yeah, walking with weights.
Yes, I have. Why?
Like a couple of hand weights, while you're walking. I mean, you see people doing that, they've got a 2-3 pounds, maybe 5 at most. And they're walking down the street, swinging their arms with weights on them. Have you ever done that?
When I was a runner, I did it. There was an optimal amount of weight that I could sustain. And I had two sets of hand weights. And the lighter set was longer and skinnier. It felt good in my hand, but the weight was the important thing. The other one, my ambition, wanted me to use the heavier one, of course, but
right.
I wasn't able to sustain that. I didn't enjoy it. I had to focus too much on it. I didn't want to think about it. You know what I mean?
I'm not even sure what the point of it is, I mean, other than building muscles in a, while you're walking. But I just thought I'd ask you that, whether there was any benefit, that you've ever experienced from walking with weights, because, I mean, that could be a way of augmenting our walks, Let's take a few weights along and do a little bit of arm work, while you're walking. Because my arms definitely need it. I need to do weight work. This work, this stuff you're talking about, is definitely need to do it, I'm at that age where you have to work with weights. I haven't started doing that, but I'm going to go there eventually, I think.
I'd be happy to support you in that, Bennett.
I might take you up on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially since I think I can teach what I've been describing for you, and that way it'll be sustainable. And, I take a long-term viewpoint on it, 1 or 2 or 3 years minimum. And up to 5 years, you know, maybe after several years, I'll want to back off a little even more, or maybe I'll be able to sustain it for a while. I don't know, but I'll be sensitive to a decrease in my strength or prowess, and back off if I need to, because again, it's a question of sustainability. You know, recently, yeah. I was about to tell the story where I decided to up the ante a little by lifting a little more weight, you know, and so
yeah.
I lifted a little more weight, and guess what? I wasn't able to sustain it. And so I started missing workouts, and I realized, you know, I'd rather be at a level that is sustainable, and I feel, you know, that I can do it with total impunity. Hear what I'm saying? There's no question about recovering in time or feeling sore or tired from it. And so,
I think all the lessons you teach, Brian, about running, I think they all directly apply to weightlifting. Don't you think? Because the way you talk about resting after a run and how long you rest before your next run and being aware of that rest time and all that stuff. I think it doubly applies to weightlifting, you know.
I agree.
I know a lot of people hurt themselves weightlifting because they don't. I'm going up that hill, by the way. They don't rest between workouts. Even within their workout, they don't rest, you know. So that'd be good. I would trust you to do weightlifting because you're very conscious of that time it takes to regain your strength.
Yeah, thank you. And so let's focus on your exertion level. I mean, are you relaxed going up that hill at the moment?
I'm taking half steps, almost half stride. And, my breathing is getting a little heavier. It's an interesting when you say relax, it's the upper body I experience tension, you know.
Okay.
So if I am tense, it would be my upper body.
Let's work on that a moment. Tilt your hips back instead of thrusting them forward.
Okay.
And sit on your hips and lift your chest. Okay. Bring your shoulders back.
Okay, that feels good.
Half strides are good. A little bitty strides.
Yeah.
Tilt your hips back, chest up, shoulders back and down, relax.
Evening.
I think you might have muted yourself again, Bennett, if you were trying to talk to me.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, no, I can.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, yeah.
No, I wasn't muted. I just wasn't talking.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of perfect timing because I was going up a slight hill as well. And it wasn't very big. And I found myself having a little bit harder time breathing and listening to Brian. And I keep forgetting to pull my shoulders back because I slouched. I pushed forward. But yeah, pushing my full shoulders back really opened up the chest and made it a little bit easier to breathe, actually.
That's the thing.
Think about what's causing to hunch those shoulders forward. What's the thought that's causing you to hunch forward?
Like bulldozing up the hill.
Yeah, exactly. Just push down, shoulder, head down, and just and push, even though I was taking short steps. But yeah, to just kind of bulldoze up, just almost roll up the hill.
Yeah, I guess my point is, does the shoulders being hunched forward have anything to do with getting you up the hill?
Apparently not.
I don't think it is. No. Just habit, maybe.
Yeah, it's just habit or some kind of, I've analyzed it for myself, and I realized that I'm lifting my shoulders as if lifting my shoulders is going to help lift me up the stairs or the hill or what. And but lifting the shoulders didn't have anything to do with getting you up the hill, you know, in terms of gravity.
Well, there is something with gravity going on there with the shoulders going forward. You're bringing your center of gravity down closer to the ground as you exert strain on your legs, and you're kind of like going up the hill at a lower center of gravity. That's why I think there's a natural tendency to drop your shoulders and forward and kind of lower your center of gravity. But when you do what you said, which is tilt your pelvis and then straighten up, first of all, you can breathe. It's the first thing that happens. And your center of gravity goes back, but up and back. So it's interesting. You're kind of tilting, kind of balancing on your hips or something, you know, feels like. It feels good to go up the hill that way.
Yeah, I was feeling, I felt a lot better once I straightened up and pushed my shoulders back. It does feel good.
Yeah, because everything's aligned.
Yeah,
they
used to teach us a mantra, power, form, and balance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've said that over and over to myself whenever I go up a hill or used to go up a hill. Power, form, and balance. And it, to the extent that you actually think about those ideas, what they mean and how you can play with your sense of power and your form, posture, and the balance that's going on. You know, there are all kinds of balance points. Your ankles are a balance point, knees are a balance point, hips are a balance point, pelvic region. They're all kind of balance.
You know that posture, Brian, I'm trying that slow walking that we were talking about, and now I'm doing one leg to the next. It's very hard to do because you're putting all your weight on one leg and then lifting your back leg. Right now, I've got like 200 pounds on one leg and then to the next. But you can't do that bent over. You'll just fall over. But if you're back, it works pretty good.
If you're kind of sitting back on your hips, you mean?
It's exactly like you told us to do, but bending your knees a lot more and then shifting your weight 100% from one foot to another as you go up the hill, or close to 100%. That forces you to walk slow, and it forces you to sit up, to be erect over your hips.
Yeah, I'd like to come see what you're doing, Bennett. Let's see now.
Try going up a hill sometime. It's real easy. Just try going up a hill and bend your knees and make sure you just shift 100%. It'll kind of fall into place.
Yeah, I'm going out to take my walk momentarily. And
when you go up a Wilhelmina Rise, try going up that hill.
Yeah,
you know, slow, one foot at a time, and transferring your weight 100%.
Yeah, I'm going to give that a try. I'll let you know how it works.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just got on the top of my hill, and I'm in my front door, so I'm going to sign off, gents.
Thank you.
Perfect timing. I just made it to my car. Thanks for talking.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Thursday.
Good night.